His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear the threshing floor. The wheat he will gather into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Well, if nothing else, you have to give John points for good imagery, right? There are a few things we've lost touch with in this particular phrase. First of all, how many people know what wheat and chaff are anymore? Not bad, not bad. I figured we'd do better than a good chunk of society, there being a fair number of people who are closer to farmers in Montana than in, say, New York City. So we know that you have wheat, and then when it grows on the stalk, surrounded by the chaff, and you have to separate these things before you can, you know, do anything with the wheat. Well, back in the day, if you were a farmer, the ancient Near East in biblical times, you had a winnowing fork, which is what you used to do this with. So you'd gather all of your wheat in and put it on your threshing floor, sort of, I guess, toss it up with the winnowing fork and the chaff, because as we've domesticated grains, the chaff has become easier and easier to separate from the grains we actually want to keep. The chaff will sort of blow away. Now, if you want something fun, go to Google and click on images, and you type in wheat and chaff, and you can still find images of people who do this in various parts of the third world to this day with different types of implements. Entertain me for a good hour this week in preparation for the sermon. So this is the image, though, that John's audience would have immediately known, because they were even closer to farmers who did this than we are today. Separating the wheat from the chaff, which raises a question for me. Was John talking about a brush fire? If we're going to burn all of this chaff, which is blowing away in the wind with an unquenchable fire, that doesn't sound very safe. But that's not really our concern, though, is it? Because we are, after all, the wheat. We're going to be safe in the granary, and somebody else is in charge of whatever else is going on with the chaff, right? We're pretty confident about that most of the time. After all, if we step back a few paragraphs in this reading, John is talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who are, as we all know, the heroes of the Gospels. Clearly, they are not in the granary with the rest of the wheat. Right? Yeah. John is being a good prophet. Prophets' jobs are not to be comforting. They are not to be popular. They're usually the people you hope move into the house on the street over from you. And in fact, if they want to move into the town down the road, that's even better. They have a tendency to do things that lower property values, make your neighbors want to stop coming over, and your family invite you to their house for the holidays instead of coming to your house. My favorite, I think, is Jeremiah, who spends forget how long lying on one side out in front of his house as a symbol of what will happen to Israel. Prophets are a little odd. And that's just what they do. We haven't even gotten to what they say yet. John's statement about the wheat and the chaff, if we were to collect all of the daring statements of the prophets, is nothing. Israel is not about to be destroyed. This is just a statement about judgment. This is like, keep turning the pages, wait for something really shocking to happen. John is merely being a good prophet here. And that, I think, lets us ignore what he's really saying. We forget a few things because we know how the rest of the story of the Gospels unfold. We know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees become the villains of the Gospel. They are the people who killed Jesus. right? The bad guys, the ones who are out to trip him up, to catch him in saying something really bad. We know that John is one of the good guys in the story, that he knows what's really going on. We know how it all ends. And we know our role in all of it. We're the wheat in the granary. We're saved. And we forget a few things. This is the beginning of the story. Everything we know hasn't happened yet. It could all change still. John's role as a prophet isn't to decide what happens. It's to call for change, to invite people to step out of their comfort zones, to remind them that everything they thought they knew about themselves, that their heritage, that their manner of prayer, that everything they thought was good enough, maybe isn't. John isn't condemning the Pharisees and Sadducees. He's challenging them. He's giving them an opportunity to join him. And as much as we like to think that all of those Pharisees and Sadducees are the bad guys, not all of them are. The Gospel of John reminds us of Nicodemus, the Pharisee who came to Jesus in the middle of the night, asking about eternal life, and who is one of the men who came to help bury Jesus' body. The Gospels were written by good storytellers who knew that a united opposition makes for a better story. But every now and then there are hints, like Nicodemus, that the opposition wasn't as united as we like to think it was. A few of those Pharisees and Sadducees listened to John as he reminded them that change is necessary. And finally, we forget the inherent nature of the wheat and the chaff. Remember, when it grows on the stalk, they're the same thing. And it takes a little bit of work to separate it. Part of what John is saying isn't that merely the good things will be kept and the bad things will be burned up. He's reminding us, all of us, as we keep reading his words year after year and century after century, that what's good in us must be preserved, and what is troubling and bad in us, we must work to separate out. Just as he told the Pharisees and the Sadducees and everyone else who was gathered at the river that morning. We may be the wheat and be promised a spot in the granary, but the same spot is promised to everyone else who undertakes this work of trying to separate themselves out from what is less than perfect, of trying to become better, of trying to follow God, of repenting, of getting ready the way for the Lord. This is the work of prophets, the work of messengers. So it's John's job in a very special and unique way, because he did know what was coming. He knew he was getting the ready ready the way for his cousin Jesus. But it is also our job. It's our job to make sure that the world is ready for Jesus, who has already come, but who is also present in us by our baptism, and who has promised to come again, to separate the wheat from the chaff, to make the world better a little bit by little bit, to keep doing the work that is in front of us to do. Amen.